This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin. When we talk about neurosurgeons, we often think, oh, brain doctors. But neurosurgeons are in fact trained in diagnosis and treatment of the entire nervous system, which includes the brain, spinal cord, spinal column, and the nerves. Talking today about that, as well as neurospinal injuries, is Dato' Dr. Kantha Rasalingam, consultant neurosurgeon. Dr. Kantha, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Could you describe what we mean when we're talking about the spine? I mean, what is its structure? What is its role? How does it connect to the rest of the body?
Okay, when we talk about the spine is actually the structure that gives support to the body. It's actually composed of multiple bones, which consists of the cervical vertebra, the thoracic vertebra, lumbar vertebra, and the sacrum. And the final bone is the coccyx. Now, there are functions for all of these vertebra. And the main function of the spinal cord is actually to protect the important contents of the spinal canal, which is the spinal cord itself. The spinal cord is connected to the brain. And it is actually is part of the what we call the central nervous system. When we talk about the spinal cord is actually is something like a structure that conveys impulses either from the brain to the end effector organs or from the end effector organs to the brain. Then it's basically it's a sort of a circuit which connects the brain with the other part of the body. Yeah.
And when we look at the specialty of neurosurgery, which focuses on this structure, how has it changed in the past few years?
Okay, in Malaysia, neurosurgery is a relatively new, comparatively new field. It was first started in somewhere around the 1960s, 1963, if I'm not mistaken. And it actually started in Hospital Kuala Lumpur, where I work now. It was actually started by an American by the name of Roy Selby. And from that time, the first Malaysian neurosurgeon came somewhere in the year 1969. So we are relatively new, maybe about 50-plus years. And, of course, currently the numbers of neurosurgeons in the country are about 70 to 80 neurosurgeons. So the numbers are not as many as it should be.
What common misconceptions are there when it comes to the spine or neurosurgery that you would like people to understand better?
Right. As I just mentioned, the numbers of a neurosurgeon in the country from the beginning till now, then there were not too many. So neurosurgeons, by the term neuro, is actually brain and spinal cord. So when a lot of people feel or have this conception that neurosurgeons only do deal with the brain, but that is not true because we are actually brain and spine surgeons. All neurosurgeons are brain and spine surgeons. Now, why the misconception came across is because when we first started or when in the earlier days, in the 60s and the 70s, in the 70s, there were hardly a handful of neurosurgeons. And the neurosurgeons at that time could not cope with doing brain and spine pathology because they were all centered around KL. So the workload was too much for them to concentrate on brain and spine. So at that time, the bulk of the work of spinal work were actually done by the orthopedic spinal surgeons. So you have two different type of surgeons doing spinal work currently in Malaysia. You have the orthopedic spinal surgeons and you have the neurospinal surgeons.
Yeah. You mentioned that all neurosurgeons are spine surgeons,
yes.
But orthopedic surgeons would also look at the spine, I'm assuming, because it has an orthopedic function. What are the differences in your approaches? I mean, when would something call for one or the other?
I mean, that is a rather controversial question. By convention, normally neurosurgeons deal with what I was saying earlier, the cervical spine. The cervical spine is actually the part of the spine that lies within the neck. And by convention, the orthopedic surgeons used to deal with the lower part of the spine, which we call lumbar spine. That used to be the way it was for a very long time because cervical spine is where it's a bit more delicate. So neurosurgeons are always known to do delicate work. But now, I mean, with modernization, it has become an open field where neurosurgeons and orthopedic surgeons tend to work together these days. So we do both.
What are the usual spine problems that would call for your expertise?
The cases we see are mostly pain-related. You know, when a person comes with a back pain, or that are the common things that we encounter, back pains. They come with neck pain, pain relating to the arms and the lower limbs. Those are pains normally caused by a condition what we call degenerative pathologies, or normally because of an aging process of the disc in the spine. So these are the ones that we normally see where they come with pain being the main important symptoms. But we also do, in GHKL, we also do a lot of cases where patients come in with fractures after a fall, after a road traffic accident. You know, they come in with fractures. So those are the other pathologies that we see.
What are common injuries to the spine? You know, because growing up, we're always told, you know, be careful with your spine, be careful, don't fall on your back, you know, just take care because you don't want to cause permanent damage. What are some of the more common injuries that you tend to see to the spine?
I mean, the most common injury that we see in Malaysia, we have one of the most highest number of road traffic accidents. So the common injuries that we see is like whiplash injury. You know, whiplash is a term when if you're in a car, your head gets flung forward and then backwards, and then we can have what we call a whiplash injury. So that is injury to the spine. The most important thing, like what I mentioned to you earlier, the most critical part of the spine to be injured is the cervical spine. That is, if you have an injury to the higher part of the cervical spine, that is when the patient can be paralyzed. So that is the most dangerous injury to have. The common pathology, or the common example I can use is a person like, say, Christopher Reeves, the ex-Superman. He went for a horse ride and he fell off the horse and he had a cervical injury. That caused him to be completely paralyzed from the below the neck. So whether your injury is either at the cervical, that is the upper part, or at the lower part, the back, lower back, that will determine whether you'll be paralyzed either below the waist or below the neck. So the most crucial part or the most dangerous part is actually the cervical injury. So most of the time in an accident, that is the part that is affected. To your question on what can we do to avoid this, I mean, of course, the preventive measures are always better, wear the seat belt, you know, things like that.
When we say that somebody's broken their back, yes. You know, what are we referring to? What is a broken back?
Okay, like what you just mentioned, there's a broken back and broken neck. Now, broken neck, as I said, it's just different parts of the spine. When you say a broken neck, is the higher part of the neck, the spine, which is cervical. When you say broken back, is the lower part. So like what I was mentioning earlier as well, these are the two most common areas, the lumbar, which is the lower part, and the cervical. So people always tell you, you see, the thing about the cervical spine, especially at the lower part of the spine, it is actually, the spine is a weight-bearing organ of the body. It's the structure that bears your weight. So sometimes, especially when you're jumping from height and things like that, there can be forces that are acting that could cause fracture of the spine. So these are the things that we have to consider.
As you mentioned now, you see both neurosurgeons and orthopedic surgeons working together on patients with spinal injuries, and a multidisciplinary approach is increasingly common in the medical setting. Who are the important members when it comes to neurospinal problems? Who do you need in the team?
Okay, nowadays we do a lot of work as what we call teamwork. So the integral part of this team would be, number one, would be the surgeons itself, either the neurosurgeon or the orthopedic surgeons, or sometimes both. And while doing the operation, of course, another very key part of our team is the anesthetist. So they are very important. And then, of course, in the OT, we have our scrub nurse and the whole OT team. Having said that, the other part of this whole structure is very important. It's our radiologists. you know, because they help us to actually come up with the diagnosis, interpreting the scans. So they are also very important people. Yeah.
I'm speaking today with Datuk Dr. Kantha Rasalingam, consultant neurosurgeon, part of the Neurosurgical Association of Malaysia, and we're discussing neurospinal injuries. Up next, we find out more about the risks associated with spine injuries as well as spine surgeries. You are listening today to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Tree Lin, and my guest today, Datuk Dr. Kantha Rasalingam, consultant neurosurgeon, and we're discussing neurospinal injuries, one of the things that I think most people have pretty high up on their list of fears when it comes to injuries. And that's because, well, what are the risks associated when it comes to spine injuries? What are the factors that would determine what happens?
Right. Of course, the most important factor would be the mechanism of injury. When we say mechanism of injury, how did the injury occur? For instance, a person falling from a height, say, from a building, you know, landing on his foot, that mechanism will be a bit different from a person who's going on, say, a motorcycle or a car, because there are different forces that act on the spine. We have got what we call extension forces, flexion forces, rotational forces. So what would actually determine the extent of the injury is the mechanism. And for that, for instance, if a guy is going in a car which is speeding at, say, 200 kilometers per hour, the extent of the forces that the forces acting on him or on the spine at that point of impact will definitely be more than a guy who's going maybe at about 50 kilometers per hour. So the speed plays a big role in that as well, speed and the height.
So far, we've talked a lot about paralysis as, you know, kind of the worst possible outcome aside from mortality.
Sure.
When it comes to spinal injuries. But what else could happen, you know, aside from paralysis when it comes to your spine being injured?
Okay, the most cardinal sign of a spinal injury or what the patients come to see us is actually pain. That is what the patient actually cannot live with. The thing that brings the patient to us is actually pain. So most of them come with back pain, neck pain, and the pain that they have is sometimes they cannot tolerate it. So what do we do when they come? We try to see whether we can manage the pain initially first. Yeah. So the pain is the most important factor.
And you mentioned back pain, neck pain. So does where it is indicate what is happening? For some reason, I thought because the spine is kind of the central nervous system that pain could also be found in other parts of the body that would be related to the spine. Is that common or is it usually, you know, where it's situated tells you what's happening?
Okay. The interesting, our body is a very, very interesting organ. It's been structured in such a way that when you have pain at different parts of your body, it will represent different nerves that are affected. Because every part of our body, we have what we call a dermatome. So for instance, when a patient comes, say, with a pain, you're having a pain, say, in your thumb, we can actually localize it to a certain part of your cervical spine. Normally, the thumb will probably be around C5, C6 region. It's the same when we have, say, a pain that is radiating from the side of the leg going towards the big toe. But if you come and you tell the doctor that, he will already be able to localize it to a lumbar pathology, maybe it's an L5 level. So every single part of your body, when you go to the doctor and say, I've got a pain at this part or I've got a pain of that part, they will be able to localize you. And that is a very, very important thing for us because clinical localization is very, very important rather than you go and get a full MRI from head to toe. So that is the importance of pain.
We're always told that every surgery has risks, and most people understand that. You know, every surgery, even if it's minor, comes with risk. But I think the surgery that most people are probably most afraid of, aside from heart surgery, would be the brain. How has post-neurosurgery morbidity and mortality improved over the past few years?
Okay, very interesting question. Very controversial question as well. When we talk about, I get this, people asking me this all the time, because when we talk about central nervous system, the CNS, which involves the brain and the spinal cord, the main distinguishing factor between the central nervous system and any other systems in the body is the central nervous system does not regenerate. That means it does not sort of heal itself. So when you are doing surgery on the brain, on the spinal cord, there cannot be any room for errors. Because once the structure is damaged, it cannot heal itself or it does not regenerate. So one has to be very, very careful when they're doing brain or spine surgery.
What, in your view, is the biggest challenge right now facing neurospinal care?
I think for now, you see, having said that, you know, we have to be very careful with the surgery itself. We have to be we have to use more tools, you know, to help us to reduce the risk of the surgery, because in any surgery there's always associated risk. Now, when you are going to a person and ask them, like, you know, okay, what is the risk of spine surgery? Now, it is very, very independent from the operator. Like one surgeon might say it's 2%, 1% will give you 5%, 1% 20, 30. But to me, these are actually just numbers. What it actually represents is, out of, say, when somebody says it's a 5%, 5 of every 100% might get affected. But it also depends on a lot of other factors, the surgeon factor, the patient factor, you know, so many things. So what we do in our center is we try to minimize this risk. And how we do it is by using some of our tools. Like, for instance, 95% of neurosurgeons use microscope. With a microscope, it enhances your view. You're able to view better, so that helps in your surgery. The other way is, of course, for us to use other sort of new tools or modern instruments. For instance, we use what we call a neuromonitoring system. Now, neuromonitoring system is when we connect the patient to a machine, and that machine will sort of let us know when we are very, very close to the nerve or to the spinal cord. So that is the other form of instrument that we use to reduce the risk. Now, the next one that we are using now, or the next system that we are using, is what we call a neuronavigation system. Now, neuronavigation system is something like what is almost equivalent to the robotic systems. I'm sure a lot of people know, you've heard about like something like robots doing surgery. But in actual fact, it's not exactly robots. What we do is we actually feed all the information into a very intelligent computer, which actually helps us to navigate. That means when we are doing certain surgery, the machine will tell us, okay, you're supposed to make a sort of incision in this area or that area. Now, neuronavigation is very, very important to us in brain and spine surgery. And that is what we are using at the moment.
Would you say that the risks of, broadly speaking, yes, the risks of spinal surgery and brain surgery have gone down dramatically over the last few decades?
I would say the risk has gone down, definitely, because of the emerging new technologies. Yes, definitely.
What are the areas of research in neurosurgery that you are most excited about, that you, you know, really look forward to seeing the fruits of?
Okay. I think this is a sort of a very interesting topic, because everybody's talking about stem cells and what is the use of stem cells. And we have seen stem cells being used in the knee. We have seen stem cells used in the heart. We have seen stem cells used every part of the body. Now, that is, you know, a lot of people have been talking about stem cells in brain and spine. And that is something we have to be very careful about, because, as I mentioned earlier, the brain and the spine, the cells do not regenerate. So if stem cells can be used to help in the regeneration, it's going against the whole principle of brain and spine regeneration. So a lot of people are doing a lot of extensive research in stem cells. But up to today, we have not got any conclusive evidence to say that stem cells helps in the regeneration. But that is probably what we are trying to establish here, actually.
Yeah. And on that note, are we going to see a cure to paralysis in our lifetime? I mean, that's the big hope, right? People want to be able to walk again. People want to be able to move and feel again. Are we going to see that happen in our lifetime, you think?
That's something, is another very difficult question to answer. Now, whether the patient is able to walk after, say, an injury will always depend on how bad the injury was. So when you have a patient who comes in and they are, you know, they are able to move maybe a little bit, you know, their limbs, then they have got a good chance of a full recovery or at least a partial recovery. But normally when they come in with a total injury, they do not really improve so much. But having said that, I think the focus of this type of injuries, you know, when they have got, a total injury, they're paralyzed and things like that, the more important factor for us to focus on is actually to rehabilitate them, you know, get them mobile. You know, if they have the disability, to try to get them to sort of work around the disability rather than try to, you know, hope for something that probably might not happen.
And how well are we doing here in Malaysia in terms of providing that support?
I think we're doing very well. We have got a very good rehab center in Cheras. It's a fully dedicated rehab center. And if you look at where our country is heading now, we are heading into rehabilitation. You know, and then you can see we have got some fantastic athletes coming out from, you know, with disabilities and coping with disabilities. So rehab is one of the main keys for us to actually focus on.
Aside from paralysis, you mentioned earlier, pain is the other big, big factor when it comes to neurospinal medicine, I suppose. What advancements are we going to see in terms of pain management?
Well, in pain management, we have come very, very far. You know, we used to be only having like some remedies, you know, like medication, like painkillers and stuff like that. But now we have actually, with the advance of technology, we have got other forms of therapies as well. You see, where we are headed is, okay, the first form of pain management will, of course, be medication. Now, what happens when that doesn't work? So we are in Malaysia. We are in a country where, you know, we are very familiar with other forms of alternative medicine. So a lot of our patients tend to go for that. They go for acupuncture. They go and see their friendly BOMOs and all sorts of, you know, different form of pain management. And, you know, I mean, some of these are quite all right as well, you know, for initial part of pain management. Now, what happens when these do not work? Well, when these do not work, then we have got what we call other form of invasive procedures. Now, what are the invasive procedures? We will normally start with very, very minimal invasive procedures like injections, where we give injections to the point of source. That means if you have, a back pain, we will probably give you an injection, a small injection into the back. If you have a neck pain, we'll give you injection into the neck. So that is one form of pain management. And then we have a few other type of pain management as well, where we use some form of electrical stimulus, you know, to help with the pain management. So we have come a long way from the initial pain management, yes.
The Neurosurgical Association of Malaysia is organizing an event soon for neurospinal treatments. Could you tell us more about the event?
Yes. The Neurosurgical Association is, we are having for the first time a neurospine conference. It's going to be held from the 6th to the 8th of October, where we are actually going to call a lot of prominent neurosurgeons from all around the world. And this, I think, is going to be a very, very interesting event because we are going to have both neurosurgeons and also orthopedic spinal surgeons attending and participating. So we hope this is the icebreaker between the two fraternities because we feel that there is a long-term, in the long-term, it's very essential for both of us to work together. And on the 6th, we are going to have a pre-Congress workshop in the University Hospital with the University Malaya team, where we are going to also have another very prominent international speaker to come and talk to us on the various techniques and various new modalities in neurosurgery.
So is it safe to say that it's primarily targeted for doctors?
Not really. We are actually targeting doctors, paramedics, surgeons, and anyone that is interested, actually.
And how would one get more information to register?
They can actually go onto our website. You can just Google Neurosurgical Association of Malaysia, and you'll be able to learn more about this event.
Considering the fact that this is the first time the event is being organized by the Neurosurgical Fraternity in Malaysia, why did you think now is the time that we have to do it?
I think the time is ripe for us to embark on this because the number of neurosurgeons in the country have increased. And we are no longer, even in neurosurgery, we are no longer just general type of neurosurgeons. Even in neurosurgery, there's subspecialty. Now, neurosurgery alone is already a subspecialty. And now we are going into subspecialization, meaning in neurosurgery, you have got spine. We do spine. Then we do vascular work. We do tumor work. Some doctors do pediatric work. So the world that we live in today, or medical world we are living in today, is going into subspecialization or going into very, very minute details. So that is what is happening with us as well. We have gone into a subspecialization where we feel we have already have the numbers of neurosurgeons to do spinal work, and not only do normal spinal work with excellent outcome. So that is why we feel it's time for us to create the awareness that, look, neurosurgeons also do spine, and not just we do spine, we do excellent spine work.
And finally, where do you see spine care and spine medicine headed in the future?
Well, I see spine care and spine medicine going to a stage where, you know, we talked about regeneration and not being able to walk anymore. But now we are looking into, even if we can't walk on our own, can we fit ourselves with limbs that can help us to walk? That is where we are going. We want everybody to be able to get up, walk, even if you're not able to walk, have a good quality of life and move on with that. You know, so that is what we are talking. We are talking about total spine care.
The NeuroSpine chapter of the Neurosurgical Association of Malaysia will be formalised in conjunction with the first NAM NeuroSpine Congress, which, as Dr. Kantha mentioned, will be happening from the 6th to the 8th of October. And again,
For more details, please contact, or you can go to our website. Just Google Neurosurgical Association of Malaysia, and you can there's a contact number. You can get us there.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
I've been speaking today to consultant neurosurgeon Dr. Kantha Rasalingam. We've been discussing neurospinal injuries and the future of neurospinal medicine. You've been listening today to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.